Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
Yeah, yeah. We start the show. We're about to get it in, get it out, and get with it. So let's do it. It's the subject that everybody's been trying to get wrapped around. In this tough corona time, we are having trouble with our money. So we brought on an expert to help you along the way with that today. So listen, we got my brother Brandon Clark is in the house. So let's give my brother a round of applause and allow him to be able to see what is going on with us today and show him a support Okay, Brother Clark, we want to say, sir, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you being on today. Okay?
Man,
and
thank you.
I want to say it's an honor to see somebody that's out here helping the people change their condition of the way they live and how they spend their money and how to stretch that money and make it last a lot longer.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction, Brother Alfred, man. I'm extremely excited to be here. I'm definitely really, really, happy that you reached out to me, asked me to be on the show, man. I just hope I can provide some direction, provide some value so that, you know, we can win. Because, I mean, everybody wants to win, right?
That's right. That is right. You know what I'm saying? We all trying to make that. We're trying to make it last so we can take care of our families or provide and make ourselves live a little better, comfortable, a little bit better. And, you know, and pushing that issue out there. But we always want to give a shout out to our other brother since he's on the line. Brother Coopy, are you in the house?
Yep, I'm here. How you guys doing?
All right. So, okay. All right, Brother Clark, first of all, explain what you do. What is your expertise and how do you help people, you know, with their finance? How do they make that dollar last a lot longer?
All right, so there's like not really like a simple one-size-fits-all solution that I could really give for everybody. But what I can say is this, man, I work in risk management. You know, I'm a financial professional. You know, I've been in the industry for about 4 years. And before I got into the industry, I had like actual corporate background. So I worked for AT&T, like a Fortune 5. Everybody's heard of AT&T, right? They're a global company. They're known all around the world. And I was working as an assistant manager in one of their retail stores. And this was literally, I would say, maybe 6 years ago or so. But anyway, to make a long story short, you know, I was kind of like everybody else, man. I had that job, that 9-to-5. And it always seemed like at the end of the month, there was always more month than there was money. And I was just kind of like trying to figure out a way to, you know, to stretch my money to make it work for me, because I just hated waking up in the morning going to a job that I hated. You know, I don't know if y'all ever have experienced that, you know, in your life. I feel like the majority of people have, no matter where they live, whether it's America, whether it's Africa, Europe. I'm sure there's a lot of people like that, you know what I mean? And so I started thinking about other ways to make money. I thought about hopping in the real estate game. I thought about doing stocks. I thought about a bunch of different things, right? I even thought about going back to school. And, like, no matter how way I shape or try to slice it up, it just didn't seem like anything would fit, right? But then one day I was actually lucky enough to meet, actually he's still a good friend of mine. He was actually a financial advisor. And after just one conversation with him, you know, he kind of helped me, give me some direction. And I kind of just asked him, I was like, well, how much money do you make doing what you do? You know, he was making pretty good money, you know. And, you know, I asked him, like, how easy was it to, you know, transition? Because I was looking for a new career at the time. And he told me all the things that I would have to do. And that conversation changed my life, because I learned so many different things about money and about economics in general. And so what I've come to understand is that what most of us are taught is wrong, right? So let's put it this way. Whatever you feel like you know about money right now, do the opposite. You just want to do the opposite, right? People tell you to save money. That's not how you really make money. You don't get rich by saving money. You get wealthy by spending money, right? You spend money to make money. You ever heard that phrase, it takes money to make money?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ever heard that saying?
Yep.
Yeah, y'all heard it, right? So that's actually, you know, how these financial institutions, how these corporations, that's how they make their money. That's how they become wealthy. That's how they create passive income. They leverage money and they turn it into more money, right? So while they're telling us to save and buy stock and do a bunch of different things, pushing us further out on the risk curve, they're actually just kind of leveraging our money and making money with it while telling us to do other stuff with it.
Absolutely.
You see what I mean there?
Yeah, compound interest.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah.
I was saying compound interest. Well, they loaning our money out and making money off of it.
Exactly. That's exactly. Now, let me ask everybody this question. We go, we get our paycheck, and it don't matter where you live. The first thing that people do when they get money is they normally go put it in the bank. That's what they do, right? And then from the bank, you know, they'll pay all their bills. Maybe they'll leave some and save it, right? But when we put that money in the bank, that is actually a loan that we're giving the bank. So that's
right.
Now a liability of the bank because the bank now owes us money back, right? So now what the bank does is they take that money and they turn it into credit in the form of loans, auto loans, mortgage loans, whatever it may be. And then what they do is they charge an interest rate. So all interest is money that is paid to repay a debt, right? So now they take that interest and they pocket it, and that's now profit for them. Meanwhile, they give us back the same money that we loaned them for free. And so we're not making any money in that transaction, whereas the banks or whatever financial institution is basically getting rich and making money off of our money. And so what we got to do is flip it and just do what they do. You see what I mean? Leverage our income. Does that make sense?
Okay. But how do you turn that leverage into, you know, financial gain? I mean, is it an interest that we get on top of the dollar, or is it something, is it like a mutual fund when you put money to the bank, they give you a percentage back later on a long-term or short-term investment? How does it work?
So how does that work? So let me back up a little bit, right? Because what I'm talking about, what I was just talking about, kind of refers to when we start designing or building a financial plan, right? Because making the money is easy, but then now what we do with the money, that becomes a little more challenging because that's not really taught in school. That's normally information that's passed down within the family, right? And so if you like me where your family doesn't really come from a lot of money, then that means there's not a information there to go out and make more money. And so the first thing that, you know, when I talk with people is I always encourage people to be entrepreneurs, even if they have a 9-to-5 job, right? Because most people still need to increase their cash flow so they can have more money, right? So even if we got a 9-to-5 that pays our bills or maintains our lifestyle, every person must have a side hustle, some type of business. If you do not do that in this day and age, in this point in time, then you will probably be poor for your entire life because that's just the way the economy works right now. Feel me? And so that's one way, increase our cash flow. Now, once we have our cash flow, we would now want to start building our plan from the ground up. So how do we do that? Let me ask you guys this question. Anything that has any value to it, anything that has any purpose to it, what do we normally try to do with those things? Do we try to protect it? Is that a yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, personally for me, I would say that I usually take a percentage of it. I put in short-term investment. Like,
so you put in short-term investment. Well, let me reframe the question.
Quick money. That's basically quick money.
Got me. Let me rephrase the question. So when we make money, that money is very valuable to us, right?
Right.
It's a valuable thing. Just that's valuable. And so everything that we value, we normally tend to put insurance on those things. A house, you normally put insurance on that. A cell phone, you'll even put insurance on a cell phone. Here's the trick question. Why don't you put insurance on your money first before you invest? That's
real
right,
simple, man. No one showed us how.
No one
that's
showed us how.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say.
Exactly.
Never even know you
exactly.
do that.
Yeah. Now, Brother Alfred, I used to do this too because I thought that hopping directly into the stock market was the best thing to do, right? Because
yeah.
They really kind of limit us. They really sell us this dream. I mean, you watch movies like Wolf of Wall Street, and you see my man
yeah.
Jordan Belfort selling stock, making all this money. Man, that's not really how they're doing it. They selling dreams when they're doing that. They're selling dreams. They're not selling you any asset. They're selling you a piece of paper, right? And so what do?
Right.
You follow the money. You follow the money. How do we follow the money? Well, everything is public. Any type of a bank institution, all their financial statements are online. And so what I did, and I wouldn't even know this if I didn't work in this industry, is I started looking at all these big banks like Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo. You know, I'm thinking everybody kind of heard of those banks before. But if we go to FDIC.gov, and we go to FDIC.gov, and we hop on FDIC.gov, we can look at a bank's financial statement. And so what do? We go take a look at their statements and see where they have their money allocated. Where are they investing, right? Because I want to do what the bank is doing, right? Because the bank is the banks are the richest institutions on the planet, right? They control the money. And so what you'll find is when you start looking at these banks and you dig in their documents, you'll see that they invest billions of dollars a year in life insurance. They insure their money through life insurance. Life insurance is actually listed as a tier one asset on a bank's balance sheet. Just to give you a perspective, Bank of America this year or last year put in $22.5 billion, would it be? Everybody say billion.
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 Would it be? They put $22.5 billion in life insurance premiums compared to only $3 billion in common stock. So common stock is going to be like your Apple, your Amazon type of stock. So one must think to himself, why would a bank put $22.5 billion in a life insurance policy, but only $3 billion in the stock market?
Well,
why would they put us
simply put it
to put our money in the stock market first? You know what I'm saying? Right, and so that's one of the things. So when we build that life insurance for our foundation, it now opens us up to other investments because we're securing our cash flow. So now we have an actual asset versus owning a stock because, believe it or not, a stock isn't technically an asset until it makes money for you, right? So if I buy a stock for $100 and I sell it for $200, that was an asset because it made me $100, right? But in order for me to get that $100, I got to sell it. As long as it's just a stock, it's just a stock. I can't do nothing with it. I got to sell that stock to create money. That make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Got you. Now I'm going to kind of just pause right there for a minute. I feel like I'm talking a lot.
No. I think what's going on is we are mind blown right now. I mean, take me for example. I am a Wall Street kid, okay? And just to use myself as an example, while everybody else was playing Zelda or Super Mario, I was playing the video game Wall Street Kid on Nintendo, okay? So this new concept is blowing my mind right now, and I'm like, take back. Okay. So I definitely want to do that. Oh, I want to introduce our new brother to the family. He's on the line. Brother, the traveling man, the man always on the road. I'd like to give a shout out to my big brother here. So listen, introduce yourself real quick and we get back on the show.
What's going on, family? How you doing? My name is Tone Robin. And I could be found on social media at Tone Robin, where I host my podcast. I have previous financial experience of 15 years in retail banking, customer service, and credit card fraud, and also lending as well. So I'm following the process, and you are definitely correct about the stocks, because stocks have a short range. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people will buy stocks with their fingers crossed as far as a novice, hoping that they're going to get a high yield, and they don't even know how to they don't even understand, you know, the validity of the market and the potential of a share when they purchase it, and understanding that it has truthfully very minimal value.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
This brother here, I'm going to tell you right now, we linked up together a while back, been talking, Instagram and the whole thing, and we want to bring him in. So listen, we just wanted to let you know that we appreciate him coming on today, and keep it going. Also want to give a shout out to our brothers and sisters in One United Bank. And please go to oneunited.com, sign up to your Black Bank today, supporting the cause, and it's definitely a supporter for BLM. So, you know, just get a chance, One United Bank, all right? You can Google it. You can search it. One of the best banks, international, nationally known, from one coast to the next coast. They have a bank in Cali, banks in Boston, based out of Chicago, and I think they have a branch also in Washington, D.C. So, you know, and the online banking as well. So please get a chance to go to One United Bank and show your support for our community today and for your community as well. As they grow, we grow. Remember, One United, and One United we stand. All right, guys, let's get back into the show. Now, Brother Clark, I'm going to ask you a question now. Okay. Now, we know that once we know the limitation of the stock and we know we start to put this financial plan together so that we now investing or putting into the insurance side, the same side as the bank itself entities, is there a specific company? Are we going straight to the FDIC for the information, or do we go through the actual insurance company itself? I mean, where do we look to get this information so that we can put our money where it can work for us, not short term, but as well as long term, you know? Where do we go with this information?
Got you. Well, one of the sources that you can go to is my Instagram, which is All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. You could also find me on TikTok at Brandon Anthony Clark, because I actually work with a lot of other guys just in the industry, and we all kind of just share what we know to kind of help everybody. But in regards to the life insurance, man, the life insurance really doesn't vary all that much from company to company. You just want to find one that has the right benefits. So we're talking about benefits. I'm looking for a company that's going to, well, number one, be A-rated, right? Just like a report card. You want A's on your report card. You want A for any company that you invest in. Number two, actually, this should be number one. You want a mutual company, a mutually owned company versus a stock-owned company. Why do you want a mutual-owned company? Well, the reason you want a mutual-owned company is because once you become a policyholder in that company, you now are a shareholder of that company, right? Versus a stock-owned company, they're going to more so look out for the stockholders versus the actual policyholders. So that's like as a rule of thumb. I normally steer towards mutually-owned companies. You also want to look for a company that will give you liquidity to your funds. Right, and not all companies do that. There's maybe a handful. What liquidity means is that you have basically quick access to your money. Think of like a checking account or a savings account where, you know, you could just go to an ATM, pull out cash if you need it. Right. In most other traditional insurance companies, you're going to see it's like really long term. Like you don't have access to money, you know, really until like two, three, 4, 5 years in. Right. And so the companies I like to look at are going to be ones that give you 90% liquidity within the first year, right? And so that's one thing to take a look at. Let's see. In regards to, I think that was the first part of your question. Could you kind of repeat the second part of the question?
Well, once we know how to, find these companies out there, and we put the money into this company, the next stage would be, okay, how do we know that money's going to move in the progressive way that we want it to move? Is really what I'm trying to get to, actually.
Got you. I got you. Okay, so you want to look at there's two kinds of, let me say, like, insurance type of contracts out there. You got one that's a fixed type of an account, which is going to give you a steady interest rate, probably between 3% to 6%. Honestly, 6% is what you really want to look for, because some people would, you know, they'll tell you 12%, you know, like these big outrageous numbers, right? But we got to still also account for, like, taxes and fees. So it's not really the return at the end of the day that we want to look for. It's our net return, like after fees and taxes. And so if you're getting a life insurance contract that can give you 6% net, it's already a tax-free investment, so you don't got to worry about no taxes.
That was going to be my next question. Can you write this investment off on your taxes? Can it be a tax credit, or can you use it in another way to try to recoup at the end of the year during tax season?
You can if you own a business. And so that's going to go back to the entrepreneur side hustle piece, right? Because in America, it's capitalism. So the tax code is geared towards business owners. It's not geared toward the employee. And so that's why when I say, even if you have a 9-to-5, you need to have a business on the side. It's for the tax treatment,
right,
for the tax
purpose.
Right.
Always
so
have that LLC right waiting for you, or that sole proprietorship ready for you, or S corp. Have that set up. In the meanwhile, there's many ways to do that. I tell everybody, when I opened my first business when I was 16 years old, it was a hell of a lot more stress than today. Today, you can go on websites that actually will prepare your business plan, and you can, you know, file your licenses, and they do all the paperwork, and it's just basically you answer a bunch of questions and pay off, and they file it, e-file it for you. You ain't got to do all this other hustle and side work anymore. So it should be more simple for us today in 2020 to able to start a business than it was back in 1996 or early 2000. It's gotten so simple. It's just push a button and you're open. So, I totally see that. And I see that I always potentially do that. I mean, to the point I teach my children that. My son, 13 years old, and he's opening his first business right now.
Wow.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Well, he wants to be like dad. He wants to basically open his own invention company. He patents people's stuff for him. And he's got his own inventions as well. And he also sells stuff just like me online and everything. That's what he does on a regular basis. So I tell everybody, you know, prepare yourself. Work towards a long-term financial stability goal. You know, start your own business. I started my one of my first successful businesses that I actually sold when I was younger was a shoe shine stand. You know, I was in shoe shine.
Yeah.
I saw the original movie Shaft, and I sat there and watched Shaft, and everybody kept coming to the shoe shine man. Even when I watched Stark, everybody come up to Huggy Bear, and Huggy Bear get his shoe shine, and all the information came to the shoe shine man. So guess what I did? I became a shoe shine man. And I met the man who used to I met the man who used to shine Malcolm X's shoes when he was living in Boston. And his name was EC. And he showed me how to make shoe shine polish from scratch. And I sat there, and I was doing pretty good. I was making $1,600, almost $1,600 a week, just shining shoes. And
amazing,
I sold it for $60,000. Took that money, bought some mutual funds, and put that away for a rainy day. And then and then 9/11 came, and the stock market crashed. Lost everything. So
now that's an interesting point that you brought up right here. And can I just touch on that stock market crash for a second? Right. So I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but there's like really a global financial crisis. Like we're in the heart of it right now, and especially is more so because of a retirees. Pre-retirees, because we got a lot of, at least here in America, I know we're kind of worldwide, this show is worldwide, but, and this is actually happening in Europe as well. There's a retirement crisis because there's all these older people who don't have retirement. Why don't they have retirement? Well, they were told to invest in these things called 401ks and other qualified plans, which were basically shifts the burden of responsibility from the employer to the employees, right? And so what happened was back in 1980, they introduced this legislation to have people have 401ks or employers offer 401ks. So now these people put money in this 401k, which actually is a stock market product, right? So that money gets invested in mutual funds and things like that. And we're told historically, you know, that, just put your money in the stock market. You'll get a 10% return because that's what the S&P 500 has done over the last 100 years. Yeah, I mean, yes, it has, right? It has done that if you look at the numbers. But from 2000 till today, the stock market has crashed three times. So what that means is if you had $1 million in 2000 and you lost half of that when the stock market crashed, you now have $500,000. It took you 10 years to get back to your $1 million. And the stock market crashed again 50%. So you right back down to the same 500. Stock market goes up again to just right now when we had COVID. You finally got your $1 million back, maybe a little bit more, then the market crashes again, so you're right back down. So my question, or I guess really the point that I'm trying to make is 20 years went by, but no money was made, even though the stock market continued to increase. But because we have these big shifts and these big crashes, you're not really making any money. You're actually losing money because you have the same amount of money that you started with 20 years ago.
That's correct. That's correct. And a lot of people don't understand that, the significance of it. I know there are so many different small apps now that are selling the false fallacy to people that says, hey, you may not be able to buy a whole stock, so buy a fraction of the stock. So you have people that are starting to invest through Cash App, through Acorns, through I forgot what the other small app is, but they're buying fractions at this stage, and they're tying up their funds. And like you said, I mean, it's the yo-yo effect. You know, today it might have, you know, a 10% increase. Tomorrow it may drop 5%. So, and then the next day it may, you know, go down another, let's say another 10%, so now you're negative 5% on what you put into that at a fraction of the amount. And what are you doing? You're really trying to recover what you put in there, and the percentage of gross that you would yield is so minute in the grand scheme of things in the stock market. If you don't, I would say if you don't have anywhere from, I mean, a minimum of $10,000 to tie up to $100,000, I personally don't see where it's lucrative for anyone. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
I honestly
believe that the money in the stock market isn't actually buying and selling stocks. So like traders, I really like traders because they understand that the money is made on the transaction. So like a stock market, there's markets for everything. There's markets for cars, there's markets for real estate, There's the supermarket where you go buy food and stuff. But what is a market? A market is just a place where you go exchange money for a service or a good. So when we talk about stock market, by definition, we're supposed to be exchanging stocks in that market so that we make money on the exchange, not necessarily in holding it long term. If that makes sense. So for me personally,
you're correct.
I actually like the dividend paying stocks. Because at least with a dividend-paying stock, you're not so much tied to whether if the market goes up or down or the value of the stock goes up or down. You actually can be paid an income from this dividend or that asset, right? So that's why I kind of more so steer towards, you know, dividend types of stocks versus the traditional. Makes sense.
Yeah, I want to jump in real quick. I noticed that I actually was receiving dividends from a couple of companies on, and as you know, of course, you get notification from the company allowing you a percentage vote on the board of directors or as a shareholder. That's some good things that come along with it. But you know, it, like you mentioned. You know, partial stocks, you know, they're okay. You think you're doing something, but you're not. You realize later that your dividends is not what you really thought it was going to be. Like one stock I remember, they paid a dividend of $5 for a stock that I bought at $80 a share, you know. And that was over after a six-month period of investing into the stock. And yeah. Oh, of course, they came to me, you know, they send you an email, let you know what's going on. And they also let you know that we're changing board of directors, the CEO changing or whatever the case may be. We are taking a vote on proxy votes for this idea or this direction for the company. You're allowed to, you know, put your opinion on that. And you're allowed to participate in the meeting as well. You know, and just go along with that. So I understand all that, but it's sort of hard for the common man or the common human person or common worker. They're not in tune to that. And, you know, it's very vital that we try to at least educate them on those issues and what that is going on. It's that time again, so we're going to take a little quick commercial break. And remember, everybody, don't forget, every Monday, every Wednesday, 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right, King Cam is in the house. Midnight Oil is always there.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right, we're going to take a little quick break, everybody. Just relax a little bit for a second and listen to the tune of I Need Money.
You can give them to the brother and bees. I need money.
All right. We're coming back into it. All right. We have Brother Brandon Clark is in the house, and he
What's
is
going on?
Editing.
What's going on?
He's definitely giving us what we need right now. So definitely, we want to appreciate the brother being on today. We want to make sure he's getting blessed with this. So we're into the second part of the show. All right, everybody, you know, like we just basically, you know, want to do a, like a Q&A. So everybody, if you have a question today, please dial in 516-418-5803. Okay. Oh, sorry. Yep. Sorry. 516-418-5805. Please call in today if you have any questions for him. You know, we take the Q&A and everything like that. But, you know, in the meanwhile, we're going to just go listen up, and we're going to definitely get into this a little bit more in depth, you know, get into talking about, you know, owning your own business as well and being a entrepreneur. And we're also going to talk about, you know, how to make this money a little bit more stronger. We touched on it a little bit. We talked about the insurance companies and everything investing in that, but we also want to go into other things. You know, I would just say right now, the way the world is working with COVID, the medical industry, like PPE companies, defibrillator companies, companies that make the machines that keep the people alive. I know it's, a lot of people get scared to do it because it's like you're trying to make money off of life and death. And some people get a little scaredish with that. But the reality is those industries are making the big bucks right now. They those companies that's making the mask, the company mask, the industrial company medical mask, they're making boko bucks right now. If you want to talk about other industries that's come along with it, I talked to a brother now who I was, you know, who was in the Nation of Islam, and he owns one of the major owned toilet paper companies or paper towel companies. This brother
what?
Is killing it. He is killing it. Freedom Toilet Paper is they're flying off the shelves. Orders is coming all over the United States. He can't even keep up with the demand anymore. There used to be, I remember when I saw this brother back in 2008. And I went to Atlanta, Georgia. He came out to Atlanta, Georgia with a couple brothers I used to know. And the brother was, you know, trying to push it. The brothers were buying it, but they weren't buying it like they are now. He can't keep it. He can't keep it on the shelf no more.
Wow.
He can't even. He's got backlogs of orders going 6 or 7 months. Okay. He's killing, and that's not even just with the toilet paper, but with the paper towels, the Freedom toilet paper towels, all sanitary napkins, all of it is flying off the shelf because people were panicking, trying to get their equipment and get everything, and then you go to the supermarket, the shelves are empty, just completely. So those industries I just mentioned are something I think we all should be looking at as far as putting a dollar in to invest as far as into, you know, maybe short-term or long-term investments, companies. Start looking at the companies. See, I would tell everybody, all right, when you go to the supermarket, right, don't just go to the supermarket and pick up your food and walk out the door. Take a stock of what is being sold the most. When somebody tells you that we don't have something in stock, find out what it is, write the name down, find where the company's based, see if they're publicly published company, is announced to everybody, see if you can invest into it, find a way to get your dollar mixed into that boat immediately, because I guarantee you, you can turn investment that $1 into $10 just by watching what goes on in ordinary scenarios.
That's good. That's good, brother.
You know?
Good.
Yeah, because, yeah, we try that. I you have to try that. Because I look at it, you know, when Corona hit, I would literally tell you right then and there, do not put your money in oil or gas. Because the market dropped so much, especially where I'm at. I'm in the state of Maine. Okay, the gas rate right here per gallon is $2.96 right now. Okay, during when the corona hit, it dropped back down to $1 a gallon. Now it's back up. Okay, now when that bounce, when they say we're reopening, that's when I would have put my money back into oil. Or at least if I would have known a week in advance, I put my money back into oil at that point. Then I would make more money later on. Because now you're coming in at the beginning of the start of the peak going up. And you're taking a ride until the bubble bursts. And then when the bubbles burst, it's you know, you be able to say, okay, let's cash out. But you would have made at least 15% on your investment during that time. I also look at the basis of like certain foods. Now, everybody that gets on TikTok, believe it or not, you're starting to see a certain TikTok is actually dictating what you buy right now. Okay, in every community. Like I said, I always use myself in events. Okay, I was a young Muslim. I had no understanding of what Zamzam water was. Okay, okay. But apparently, it's the blessings of all blessings. I went out as soon as I heard about it on TikTok. Went out and tried to buy a case. Couldn't find it. I called the market. Sold out. They tripling the price of it all. It originally was going for $2. Now it's going for $7 for a 16-ounce bottle per bottle. Because they can't keep it up the market. They can't keep these things on the shelves. Honey, all these little tiny things, trinkets, you've seen it. People are praying more. So prayer rugs is going out the door. Medina is another company that's going, it's already global, but it's growing to the point that it's becoming the number one source in urban communities around the world. Okay, so we have to look at these things. Like it goes back to what I just said earlier. When you go out, I don't care if it's McDonald's, I don't care if it's Burger King, I don't care where you go, you find out what is selling the most. What are people doing on a consistent basis, as well as what are they doing a lot more of? So when you come out here, you say, okay, all right, cheese is a high thing. So let me go find out where Orlando Lakes is trading on the market, and I'm gonna go and maybe I'll put $300 on that share. I'll at least get one or two shares of it all. Okay. And you know, you think it, but it goes back to what you were saying earlier, where the partial shares. Yes, I'm one of those people. I went that partial share route, and right. Trust me, I thought I was doing good. Now go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I would say that most people like find what's going on, find what works. What is out there? Put it to your apply it to your life. Take that little percentage. I would I don't know if you agree with me, brother, but I would say take maybe if you got a paycheck, take 5% of that paycheck, right? At least a 5 to 10%. If you can do 10%, that's cool. Take 5% of that paycheck, put that aside for a to invest. And then if you don't have enough to invest, watch the market through the week And then when you get the next paycheck, if it's every 2 weeks or every week, you go into that cycle, take that next 5%, you should be able to take a little bit of that, then put that business plan or that plan of investment into practice. And then once you're able to put that into practice, you're allowing yourself to put start that niche of growth. And then once you have that niche of growth, then you can able to take it and put it into other markets, which is, you know, like they say, split stock is split. Well, split your investment, you know, split your investment. Make sure that you're doing it. If you do get dividends, take that dividends, put the dividends along. If you already have investment, I tell people to take those things as well. And, you know, and basically, as you say, diversify your funds as much as possible. So that you're not sitting, you know, the old thing, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Try to make sure, so try to make sure that you can get your hand in there. The basics that I learned from, there was a brother he used to call him the math guru, and Brother Kemet used to say that, you know, when you look at that and you know you spread yourself out, but don't throw and spread yourself thin, you are able to see a quicker return, even though you're doing a long term investing. Mm-hmm. You're just because something's always going to come back. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's look at the housing market right now. All right, if you want to invest in real estate, the big thing that's trying to make its comeback is called RTO. That is where you get a property, you buy the property, and you rent to own the property. So you can either rent out the property that you own until you sell the property, have somebody live there, and with them also living there, having a chance to buy the property as they already live on the property. Or you can give them what they call a temporary contract with limited time on the contract, allowing them and telling them, listen, you have 2 years to come up with the money for the down payment to pay this money outright. And then if you do not have it within that time, you know, we are sell the house even though you are already living there. So anything let's say the person cleans the place up, makes it looks good, everything, it does not matter. You still own the property. Those people are basically just renting from you, and you the original owner of the property. You're making money because, one, you still got the down, you know, the deposit for the rent. That is yours. You get to keep that. It's not a normal rentals contract. Then, two, you got a monthly income, a regular basis coming to you with a 1% going towards the original cost of the house and the property. And three, it pays off your mortgage if there's still a mortgage on the original on your property. Okay? Mm-hmm. So those are three good things that come out of that contract for you as the owner. Also find a town. Like I'm in Sanford, Maine. Sanford, Maine housing is so bad out here that you can't find a ready to go house at all. So all the houses have to be all fixer uppers. But here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. Out here you can find a house for $69,000. That's it.
Wow.
Cash money.
Uh-huh.
And that's really cheap. And that's like 2 or 3 acres. You can find 14 acres from basically down to like $85,000 for 14 acres.
Wow.
You know, and you can make money off the acres itself. So what I'm saying is you can invest in certain markets like that. You can get into restaurant market. The restaurant market is a wide open market that people are not really taking too kindly of. Yes, you can go to Star Market and put $5 into the McDonald's, But what you really want to do is you take a small mom and pop's business, restaurant, right? You come up with enough capital, right? And you go to the mom and pop's business. If the food is quality and you like what they are producing, and if you can watch, sit there one day, watch the traffic flow, then you approach mom and pop and you come to them and you say, listen, mom and pop, you're doing pretty good business. I like what you do. I'd like to give you $20K right now to invest into you and give them a this, now this is called one-on-one personal contract. And you say, listen, mom and pop, I'll give you $20K and then all I want is a 10% return on my investment into you. I do not tell you what to take this money, this $20K go towards. And every time they get paid, you get paid. And you don't have to do a thing. Now, you know it's a high risk because restaurants have the most highest failed rate in business. There's so many restaurants that come out good, and then within a 10, 20-year span, sometimes they fail. But it's a good investment. So there's many ways to look at this and try to take that money and make it work, but you got to look, basically, look, listen, taste, and see, and then put the finance behind it, what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Man. And I want to add something to that, just to kind of circle back around with what you said earlier about, you know, taking 5% or 10% of your pay. I don't think a lot of people understand what paying yourself first or creating the discipline or the habit of saving money does for you, for your self-esteem. You know, it takes a special type of person to discipline themselves to not spend money, even though they have it. That creates a confidence and a belief about yourself to where you are okay with, let's say, taking a risk, right? Because I talk to a lot of people on a day-to-day, and one thing that I find is normally common, especially like if somebody doesn't have a lot of money saved or any money saved at all, they're really fearful about investing money because they don't want to lose it, right? Because that's all they have, the fear of poverty, right? But when I talk to somebody, let's say, who has a lot of money, already have that money saved, they're a lot more open to exploring other opportunities because they have that saved, so they're not really afraid to lose anything because they already have a habit of saving money, and they have a belief that once they put this seed money in, that they're going to get a return on that. And as the more money they make grows because they saved and now started to invest, now their savings actually increases at the same time, right? The more money you make, the more money you could actually save. But we got to start with, even if it's a dollar, you know what I mean? Even if you feel like you can only afford to save a dollar or $5 or $10, it's so important and critical to just build that habit and pay yourself first. No, you can't become financially independent without that habit of saving money. I just kind of want to add that in there. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this book called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Yes, sir. Great book.
Yes. Great book, man. Great book.
Don't invest with the man who builds, you know, things out of wood, who's telling you he has a special on buying diamonds.
Right.
Exactly.
And yeah. the moral of the story behind that is basically saying, in short, make sure the person that you are investing into is actually in that business. For the most part, you're dealing with a subject matter expert, so that you don't just waste your money on hope, putting it in someone else's hands and watching your money you know, go right down the drain because, albeit from inexperience to no experience, or, you know, just a person that is just going to mismanage your money because they truly don't know what they're doing. And that was an excellent book, man.
Yeah, it's excellent. And by doing that, man, you open yourself up to so many other opportunities. So, like, even me, you know, my background wasn't always finance, but now I, like, kind of specialize in just the insurance part. Even though, like, I know about portfolios and stocks, but I don't personally want to manage any portfolios. But I will leverage somebody who that's all they do is manage portfolios, and they look at the stocks and review the news every single morning, and that's what they do. So I feel confident, you know, giving my money to a person like that, you know, even if it's a real estate, if I know a guy who has rental properties or invests in duplex, I feel comfortable giving that person money because they've shown that they have a track record of success in that industry versus, you know, going up to somebody and saying they just got an idea of like, hey, you should put your money in Bitcoin or whatever. Whatever it may be, you know what I'm saying? I just feel like you always want to look at an opportunity to see if there's proven success in that opportunity versus always looking for like a speculation type of deal. You know, I mean, there's room for speculation and speculative plays, but you always want to be safe with whatever you're investing in, and you want to feel comfortable. You want to know how it operates, how it works. You know, that's one. Ask questions. Ask a ton of questions. Because the more questions you ask, the more you learn, or the more we learn, you know.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Just want to say thank you for everybody coming on today. I just want to hop in real quick and say, yo, to our special guest host for the Clark. Hey, Brother Clark, I hope we can do this again, brother.
Man, I hope we can do this. Man, I really had a lot of fun today.
Yeah,
hey, Brother
man.
Clark,
you know,
real quick, before we close out. Can you in short on the buying into the life insurance? I know you said there was a net free investment. You're focused on that, and you're geared towards something that's making 6% with easy liquidity. But just a simple question: how does a person go about purchasing life insurance like the banks are buying the life insurance?
Okay, so that is that's not an easy question because I will say this. There's a lot of insurance agents. There's a lot of financial advisors out there. But the reality is the majority of them only specialize in what the conventional sort of thing, the conventional type of insurance, the conventional type of investment. And so what I would say to that is you definitely want to kind of just research advisors who are actually out giving away free information and teaching you things like online for free, you know, that you can use. A really great resource is YouTube. There's a guy on there named Doug Andrew, and he does a really good job about teaching you how life insurance policies should be designed based on whatever goal that you want that policy for, because at the end of the day, the insurance is just a tool. It's not necessarily an investment. It's a tool that you want to use to create that wealth and create that cash flow. So going about acquiring it, you definitely want to find an agent or a professional that knows what they're doing. The easiest way to do that is to educate yourself on what is actually out there. YouTube is one of the greatest resources. Like I said, Doug Andrews is great. You could also reach out to me. I don't like to toot my own horn. I'm very, very, very humble person, but I'm confident in saying that what my firm does and what we do is going to be different than 95% of the other firms out there.
And I missed the intro. What's the name of your firm?
All right, so the name of my firm is Thrive Wealth Solutions. It's minority-owned. By a guy named Rich Dotson, right? And so he actually has about 23 years of experience, right? Started as a stockbroker with Morgan Stanley, decided he didn't like the stockbroker position, and transitioned more into the financial planning side where he's been for the last 20 years. And so Thrive Wealth Solutions, you can find us at www.thrivemywealth.com.
Got you. Thank you again.
All right.
All right, everybody, listen up. This is Brother Alfred. We are live on NSF Radio Show. Remember, you're on NSF Radio, and this is NSF Radio Show. Remember, every Thursday, 1 o'clock, we will be in the house. We might get a little silly, might a little get crazy, but we always educate the mind, and we'll make your head tingle sometime. And we're not bad looking, are we? So what is up? We're going to get on, go on, but it's time to let us close out the show. So I want to say thank you to our special guest and our new brother to the family, Messing Man. Brother, I remember every Thursday we are getting it in that 1 hour, but we went a little bit long. Quote, we had to go. Remember, every new time slot, every Tuesday, 10 p.m. East Coast time. That 1 hour show, Kofi Speaks. Remember, get your gear together. All right, and we got your NSF. Don't forget to go on. We are selling right there for you. Get your coats, get your shower curtains. NSF, Kofi Speaks, Midnight Oil Show. And may I introduce, Brother Clark is going to be a permanent brother of the family. All right.
I'm going to bring people in from every background credit. I got some special things coming up. Let's just put it that way.
So the new show coming up is Money Talks. Okay, Money Talks and Money. Hey, we're making it walk. All right, bring it up.
All right, now.
Bringing it down right, and stretching it all around, making it right there for you, right there for the sound. So we're gonna close out right now. So brothers are going to say thank you for coming on, and you know, and remember, NSF is on the house.
Peace.
Later.
All right, everybody, remember, I may fall down, but I always get back up. Thankful for listening. NSF is going home.